Let us begin with prayer. Gracious God, stir up within us your Spirit so that we may hear the word that you have for each one of us. And may that word carry us into our week, filled with your presence and your love. Amen. So as I begin with happy birthday, really we should be singing a little happy birthday song today. Having little cakes with quite appropriately candles with little bits of fire on them. Today is the birthday of the church. I just looked over here in your eyes, or all of you are the bits of fire in your red. Today is the birthday of the church. And like all creation stories, the story of Pentecost is important for us because it tells us about who we are, what we are in our very core, and of course for the church, what the church is about. Now, to understand the significance of Pentecost, we need to understand a little bit about sacred geography. You see, at the time of Jesus, for the dominant Jews of the time and the dominant culture, their understanding of God was physically written into the temple that Herod built. You see, the temple was built with an outer court. And in that outer court, you would need to wash to sort of cleanse off the dirt of the world. But then Gentiles were welcomed into what was called the court of Gentiles. Next, a little bit further in, was what was called the court of women, in which anyone who was not a Jew on pain of death was excluded. But all Jews, men and women, could enter. Next came the court of Israel, in which Israelite men could enter, but everyone else, including women, were excluded. Then came the court of the priests, in which the laity was excluded. And finally, at the very center, was the Holy of Holies, which was understood as the one place where God came down to earth. And it was only the high priest, only on one day for the purpose of cleansing his sins and the sins of his nations, only at that time could anyone enter into God's presence. It was a sacred geography of exclusion. Until the end, basically everyone was basically excluded from God's presence. Pentecost turns this upside down. See this photograph here? This is taken standing on the great staircase that leads up to the Temple Mount. So those holes are the baths that people would wash in before they went into the temple. So behind where this is taken would have been where all those different courts would have been, and finally the Holy of Holies. But do you want to know where Pentecost happened? Do you see the hill in the far, far distance? That is where the upper room was, in which the Holy Spirit came down. Pentecost is the story about how God ignores all the boundaries that we set for God. Where does God come down onto earth? Not where we expect. Not amongst those people who have excluded themselves and made themselves all holy, but rather about as far away as you could see at the time. And not only that, who does the Holy Spirit come to? But remember, at this point, what makes the disciples stand out? They're the ones that abandoned Jesus. They're the ones hiding in fear. Further, they are not kings. They are not priests. They are not rulers. In fact, they are country bumpkins from Galilee. They are fishermen and tax collectors. In effect, they are the nobodies of the ancient world. And where is the Holy of Holies? Where is the place where God dwells in Pentecost? It's in them. And when the Holy Spirit comes down, what happens? Suddenly we see the expansive vision of God, because who can suddenly hear? It's everybody. People from all nations gather and they hear in their own language. And in fact, Peter quotes the prophet Joel and says, the Holy Spirit will be poured out on all people. Instead of a small little exclusive vision of religion, what we see is this truly expansive vision where God comes to dwell in all people, no matter who you are. And the holies of holies is where? It is within you. And it is amongst us. This is how the story of the gospel becomes complete. You see, in Genesis, we were made the coming together of what is of the earth, Adam, and what is of God, Ruach, the breath and spirit of God. In Christ, we see God crossing all boundaries that might separate us from God. And in Pentecost, in the Holy Spirit, we are restored as a coming together of what is of the earth and what is of God, and the church is formed to be the body of Christ in the world. The means by once again how God is reflected and is the image of God into the world, bringing God's healing, bringing God's love, and discovering God's Spirit. Now you might listen to this, and you might say, well, reality doesn't seem to quite measure up. Let's be honest, when we walk into most churches, how many of our churches do we see overflowing with these manifestations of the Spirit we hear about in Corinthians? How many churches are overflowing with wisdom and knowledge and faith and healings and miracles and tongues and prophecy? Or we may even reflect on our own life. How many of our lives are overflowing with the fruit of the Spirit? With love and joy and peace and patience and kindness, with faithfulness and self-control. So why is this? Why do we not see more of the Holy Spirit filling and overflowing in our lives sometimes? You know, when I reflect on my own life, I am continuously surprised by how often that temple model of religion is still with me. You know, that model that says that we need to be holy enough? That, you know, perhaps God is reserved for some other special people? That God needs to be, you know, with those people who really got it right? How do we overcome this? It's actually simply by faith. It is through Christ. It is the gifts of baptism that the Holy Spirit is given to each of you. You are already the people in whom God dwells. But sometimes our challenge is simply to trust it, to have faith, and to dare to live like God is with us. Sometimes we also don't experience God's Spirit flowing in us because the reality is God might be powerful, but God is not forceful. We can block God all we like. We can block the flow of the Spirit within our lives. Our challenge is not so much to be worthy of God. Our challenge is simply to remove those things in our life which blocks the flow of God's Spirit within us. In the spiritual tradition, this is what is called purgation, which is not beating yourself down or calling yourself worms. Purgation is simply removing those patterns in our heart and our mind that block God. And often we speak about our heart because it is understood that in our tradition, it is understood that our heart is the place that connects us to God. It's where God dwells within us. And sometimes we fill our hearts with many other things. We fill up our heart with greed. We fill our heart up with ambition, with worries, with countless distractions. How do we cleanse our hearts? Through prayer. Through simply sitting and resting and allowing whatever's in our hearts to bubble up, and then we hand it over to God. Or perhaps our hearts are filled with wounds, with sorrow, with pain. Perhaps we are the ones who are retaining the sins of others and it's filling our hearts up. That's why we forgive again and again and again, both ourselves and God, so that our hearts can be free to receive and allow the Spirit to flow through us. We can also block the Spirit because sometimes our vision is not expansive enough. As Paul writes in Corinthians, to each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. You know, there have been few more destructive spiritual ideas in the history of Christianity. Actually, there's been quite a few destructive ones. But one of the most is this belief that God is... it's about me and my salvation and getting to heaven. That's not what this is about. Because when we just make it about me and my salvation, what have we pushed out of our heart? Love. And we believe in the God of love. So if we push out love, guess who we just pushed out? The Spirit flows when we see that our faith is about something much bigger. When it is about each other, when it is about the world and how we bring healing to the world. So if we're plugged up, we need to look outwards. How do we become a people, a church of love and of justice, who holds a vision that is much bigger than ourselves? That is what allows the Spirit to flow. And if you struggle in all this, remember the Christian story. In the birth, the life, the death, and resurrection of Jesus, God's already overcome everything that might keep you from God. Trust in that. At Pentecost, the Holy Spirit fills precisely the ones that everyone else would have written off. God has not written any of you off. But remember also that on this day, the church is born. And it's born to be the means by which God continues to come into the world, continues to heal the world, and to bring good news to the world. May we receive this grace so the Spirit continues to flow through us in justice and in peace. Before I end, after hearing about the terror attacks in London, I thought one last slide would be helpful. This is a picture of basically the building that now stands in the place of where the upper room was that the Holy Spirit came down on. So this is the birthplace of the church. Do you know what it is now? It's a mosque. But it is a mosque in which, if you were to look behind where this picture was taken, stood the tree of life, the symbol of Judaism. Actually, below it is actually the traditional tomb of David. And guess who primarily comes to worship in this mosque? Christians. Perhaps, once again, in the sacred geography of Jerusalem. In the very place where the Holy Spirit comes down is the one place in that city where all Abrahamic faiths worship in the same place, and they share it. Perhaps the Holy Spirit is speaking to us about what our work is now for this world. Amen.